Buell was also a professional soldier. And like McDowell, he had been a staff officer. He wasn't brilliant. He was methodical, careful, in some ways competent, but as we'll see, very loath to do anything very active in the way of campaigning. He was a hard man to move. Halleck had two goals. One, pacify Missouri and bring it under complete federal control. And second, concentrate on the Mississippi River for a push southward into the Confederacy, either along the Mississippi or along one of the other rivers. Buell also had two main goals, one of which was political. The soundest military move in Buell's arena would be to march down the Louisville and Nashville Railroad, which interestingly enough ran from Louisville straight to Nashville. It was a great line of advance for a Union army into Middle Tennessee. You could supply the army using that railroad as your logistical line of advance. But Lincoln was concerned about the Unionists in East Tennessee, and he wanted Buell to liberate that region, as he put it. So this was a political goal. Rather than moving on Nashville, which was the obvious move, Lincoln wanted Buell to move into eastern Tennessee and liberate the Unionists there. The second goal for Buell was to cut the railroad connections between Virginia and Tennessee. This would deny the Confederacy the strategic interior lines in that part of the military landscape. At this stage of the war, Lincoln was obsessed with interior lines. That's one of the lessons he'd learned from talking to his generals. Interior lines are important. He could look at a map and see these interior lines. He and his generals agreed that it would be good to cut those lines. So the plans for Buell reflected a mixture of political and military objectives. And that's very common in the Civil War. We have to remember always that the armies don't operate in a military vacuum. They're subject to all kinds of pressures from the civilian sector. And here is the civilian sector via Lincoln making the liberation of Unionist East Tennessee one of Buell's goals. All right, that's the Union side. Let's move on and look at the Confederate situation in the Western theater. What is the command situation for them? They face a very difficult problem in the Western theater, the Confederates do, because it is such an enormous expanse of territory that they need to defend, all of that territory between the Appalachians and the Mississippi River. The commander on the scene was Albert Sidney Johnston, and he had complete charge of this enormous department on the Confederate side, this department that stretched all those hundreds of miles from the Appalachians clear across the river into Arkansas at the western end of his theater. And his theater included all of Tennessee and all of Kentucky, an enormous chunk of territory. He was 58 years old. He was tall, well-built, very impressive. Unlike Halleck, he looked like a soldier, Albert Sidney Johnston did. He came to the Confederacy with a reputation as perhaps the best soldier they had. He had been a West Pointer, two classes ahead of Jefferson Davis. He served 8 years in the United States Army, then resigned to go fight in the Texas Revolution. He eventually became commanding general of the Republic of Texas's forces. He was also Texas Secretary of War. Came back to the U.S. Army when Texas joined the Union as a state in 1845, and in the late antebellum years, he was a full colonel commanding one of the cavalry regiments, the new cavalry regiments that had been created in the 1850s. He is the senior field commander in the Confederacy. The ranking general of all the Confederate generals was a bureaucrat named Samuel Cooper, who pushed paper in Richmond for the whole war, but the ranking officer who actually took the field was Albert Sidney Johnston. His commission predated those of the other senior officers. Robert E. Lee was next, and then Beauregard, and then Joseph Johnston. Jefferson Davis remarked on one occasion that if Sidney Johnston is not a general, we have no general. He especially expected great things from Albert Sidney Johnston. Davis clearly considered him the best soldier in the Confederacy. As with Halleck, then there are high expectations for Albert Sidney Johnston, and the fact that he was given this enormous command suggests the degree to which he was trusted by those in power in the Confederacy. He has the most important command on the Confederate side at this stage of the war. Johnston's department, as we've mentioned before, was vulnerable along four main routes: the Mississippi River, the Tennessee River, the Cumberland River, and the Louisville and Nashville Railroad, all very nice avenues of advance for the Federals.